go. Today, we are talking about sending. Sending believers, people in Christ, believers, Christians, sending on mission, sending to serve. They're sending, there's several types of sending. They're sending someone, or there's being sent. We tend to focus on one or the other, but both are of equal value. Both are completely true. There's even sending messages to other believers, sending letters. I got a letter this week in the mail from another believer. There's even sending letters. So Christianity is a sending religion. Have you ever heard that phrase? Christianity is a sending religion. God sends, his people send other believers. Knowing we're sent matters. It motivates us. It energizes to know that we've been sent by God, by other believers. It gives us purpose. It gives us meaning. It's encouraging to know that God wants to use me. He wants to use me sooner rather than later. That's why the title today is Sending You Soon. You're going to see the word send. You're going to see the word soon right through this passage, or you would have seen it as we read it. In fact, that's God's pattern in the Bible. He sends angels. He sends gifts. He sends signs. He sends friends. He sends helpers. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit into his believers. The Bible is chock-a-block with the word send. In fact, the word is mentioned 800 times in the Bible. I didn't count everyone individually. I looked it up in the concordance. 800 times. And a lot of the times it is people like Paul sending greetings, but most of it's got to do with sending people. Where is God sending you? Or where has God sent you? But we've got to be careful. See, we've got to be careful. See, in many cases, God has already sent us where he wants us to be. And we need to learn to be content. And so I'm going to say both where is God sending you, and where, and you've already sent right through this talk today. So let's continue. So where is God sending you? We need to know that every believer has been sent, or God is sending you. Every believer. That is for every believer. Now, yes, we have different roles. Some are more notable than others, and we know that. For some reason, God makes some people stand out more than others. Nothing we can do about that. That's what God does. But what we need to know, it is for everyone. Everybody's been sent. Christianity is not about being stuck in an outbox. Christianity is about connection. Christianity is about being sent into another person's inbox that they have to deal with you, yeah? Where has God sent you? Where is God sending you? And wherever God is sending you, he equips you. He gives you the skills, the abilities, the passion. He opens the way. If he sent you, he opens the way. So in Matthew's Gospel, and we're studying Matthew's Gospel at Wednesday night, we see that God opened, recently we saw that God opened the way for John the Baptist, because John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way of the Lord. And when God sends, sometimes he sends you to the mountaintops where the views are lovely, but then sometimes he sends you to the low road, the valley floor, such as Psalm 23. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, sometimes that happens. So I've broken the passage up into the passage we read today into several sections. And you'll see that on the screen. Several sections. Crystal. Okay, there we go. There's Timothy sent, Epaphroditus sent, you sent. We'll start with Paul sent, verse 19. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was sent to prison for preaching the gospel. Now, he was okay with that because the whole prison guard, and this, we're in Philippians chapter 2, this is Philippians chapter 1, the whole prison guard were, because he was in prison, they were going to hear the gospel from him, and some of them were going to respond in a positive way to the gospel. But let's go to the map. So he's in prison. We'll go to the map there. So he's in 61 AD, thereabouts. He's in Rome. One of our own is in Rome now as we speak. Dora, she's in Rome, I believe, or getting there, or soon there. But 1,200 k's away is the area of Philippi in the Macedonia, or actually today I think it's in Greece. The area of Philippi. And so from Rome in prison, Paul is able to write over time a letter, and he hopes to send Timothy soon. Again, this passage is filled with soon because he hopes to send this letter soon as well because it's urgent. Jesus is coming back. What's one of the characteristics of Christianity? A sense of urgency. Whether in the first century, when the letter of Philippians was written, there was a sense of urgency, Jesus is coming back. Or the 20th, 21st century, there's a sense of urgency. Or the 31st century, there's a sense of urgency. Every now and then someone would say, well, where is Jesus? He hasn't come back, it's been 2,000 years. But they don't understand. And believers, we need to understand that when you have the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter what century you're in, you always carry with you a sense of urgency that Jesus is coming back. And remember, one day, 1,000 years to us is one day to Jesus. He's coming back. So we have a sense of urgency. They had a sense of urgency. And so Paul is... wants to send this letter back to the Philippians. So let's, but first he hopes to send Timothy soon. And so we'll read that in verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. So he hopes to send Timothy soon. From Rome, Timothy's with him, from Rome to the area of Philippi, 1,200 k's away. And then on hearing the news, he's going to be cheered. Because let's be honest, even though he's glad that he's in prison and the palace guard are hearing the gospel, he's still in dire circumstances. And so he wants to hear the good news. He wants the cheer. He wants to hear how the Philippians are going in their faith, how they are traveling. He wants to know. He wants to know that God is at work. God is answering a prayer. God is, so there he is in prison. Picture, prison. He wants to know how the Philippians are going, how they're traveling in their faith. He wants to know that God's making a difference in this local church, that God is answering prayer. He wants the crowd of believers cheering because of what the good things are happening with the Christians in Philippi. And I think it's important to remind us, for us too, that wherever God sends you, he doesn't send you to bring misery. He sends you to cheer up. And so I think an example, Sam and Emily, who we support in part, who are in Portugal, they were not sent to bring misery. They were sent over there. So, you know, their fellow workers in the university, Christian work there would be, praise God. You know, we have fellow workers with us
who can help spread the gospel. And that is what God does. Whenever he sends you, he sends you to bring cheer. I got a letter in the mail this week, as I said earlier. It was a personally addressed to me and to the family. It was from an old friend on the Central Coast. It was because of the rain, it was all soggy. It was in the mailbox out the front here. It was all soggy, and then I let it dry out, and 24 hours later I was able to read it, and it was from my friend on the Central Coast, Susanna. She said some lovely things about my family and about my ministry. I was her pastor about 15 years ago when I first started. She shared the news. I was having a pretty average day, and it cheered me up. And I also thought, what great timing. I'm speaking about sending, and here's a letter come from someone I haven't seen for 15 years, and it was all about cheering me up. So it was great. So Paul is wanting to send Timothy soon, and he wanted the news from the Philippians that would cheer him up. But who is Timothy? Who is Timothy? We hear about him every now and then in the Bible. He's one of Paul's converts. And so when we say Paul's converts, we mean converted to Jesus, a follower of Jesus. He was younger than Paul, much younger, and he was there in Rome assisting Paul. Perhaps he was running errands, but he was very faithful in the gospel work and lots of things. But he was there helping. That's how prisons worked back then. They didn't have the state to come in and provide. If you're a Roman citizen, I believe the experts say you probably got an allowance for food. But generally, if you're going to survive in prison, you needed outsiders, family, friends to bring in things for you. So if you were poor in ancient Rome, you'd probably die in prison. So Timothy's there. He's helping Paul. They were very close. Paul treats him like a son, often calls him a son. They read the Bible together. Paul trusts him. And Paul says this about Timothy. Paul says in verses 20 to 24, he says, "There is no one like him." That is high compliment indeed from an apostle. No one like him. No one else like him. Imagine someone as important as that saying that about you. You know, no one else like him. Why does Paul say that? Well, he tells us why. In this letter, he says, because Timothy has a genuine concern for the welfare of the Philippians. Not a fake concern, like, I'll pray for you, or if you need anything, you know, give me a call. Often people say that and hope that we don't give him a call. But anyway, he's not like that. He has a genuine, practical, hands-on concern. Timothy has the mind of Christ. He's put on humility. He has the interests of Jesus Christ. Not his own interests, but of Jesus Christ. To have the interests of Jesus Christ is to have the best interests of others. You know, when Susanna sent me a letter, right through the letter, she was quoting verses of the Bible. She was quoting the Lord. And I know she was genuinely cared for me, but just the way the letter was structured, it was clear that she had the interests of Jesus in mind for me and the family. And so that's Timothy. He had a godly reputation. If you would ask Paul, I imagine if you would ask Paul, what did you think of Timothy? What do you think of Timothy? He'd say something like, Timothy is solid. He's reliable. You can count on him, Timothy. Faithful to the Bible. He proved himself, as it says in verse 22. Paul said that Timothy had proved himself. The evidence was all to see in the churches where he served with me in the gospel. And so Timothy, Paul wanted to send him soon, but I imagine he was hard to let go. And so we read these words. Paul writes in his letter to the Philippians, "I hope therefore to send him, Timothy, as soon as I see how things go with me. I think that to see how things go with me is code for hard to let Timothy go. And I think churches experience that today. You train someone up, they become useful, they serve in so many areas of the church, but you know their heart is to serve maybe in mission or somewhere else. But if you're honest, it's hard to let them go. They're so useful, they're so helpful, and then they go to another place and it's just hard. But you know they've got to go, and I think that's where Paul is at with Timothy. But ultimately, I think Paul is confident that he's going to be released from prison in Rome and he's going to accompany Timothy back to Philippi. That's what he's confident about. Now, did Paul and Timothy ever make it back to Philippi? Commentators in the Bible about the Bible say probably, because in Acts chapter 20, Paul went on his third missionary journey through the area of Macedonia, and Philippi was a major town in that area, and because there were limited roads, it's almost near impossible to avoid that town. But he doesn't mention it, but it's probable that he did, Paul and Timothy did make it back there in the third missionary journey. But if he didn't make it back, that's okay, because sometimes God's plans are not our plans. What God decides is not necessarily what we want. When God sends, we've got to accept that God decides where we're going to go. We've got to be content with that. But Paul is planning to send Timothy soon. And he's also planning to send Epaphroditus. Pappy to his mates. Easier to say. His name, Epaphroditus, was common in the first century, but we only hear about it twice in the Bible. This bloke, he's only mentioned in this book in chapters 2 and 4. And so Paul is planning to send Epaphroditus back to his hometown. It appears that's where Pappy is from. See, what's the use of having Pappy in Rome long term? He's got to go back to his home. A little bit like an Australian representative at the Paris Olympics. After winning a medal, you don't stay in Paris. You've got to go home. Go back to the family, celebrate with the family. And so it appears that Epaphroditus, or Pappy, is from Philippi. And so we read that, verse 25. But I think it is necessary to send back to you, Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs while I'm in prison. So Pappy is not as close to Paul as Timothy is, okay? But Pappy is close to the Christians, the church in Philippi. And so Paul is planning to send him back. And Paul obviously trusts him. He calls him brother. He calls him co-worker. He calls him fellow soldier. You don't say that unless you trust someone. And so in ministry, integrity matters. You've got to be trustworthy. If you ever get sent somewhere to serve on mission, you know, or kids' church, or in university, or in the workplace, or another church, if you're ever sent by God or sent by other believers, you've got to be trustworthy. It really matters. And so Pappy was trustworthy. He was super trustworthy. His name means lovely and charming, apparently. That's what his name means. I can imagine he was approachable and personable. Ladies, if you're ever looking for someone to marry who's a believer, look for someone like Epaphroditus. Bit of a top bloke. And so he was their messenger from Philippi to Rome. But commentators strongly suggest that he also carried this letter back when Paul sent him back from Paul in prison back to Philippi. And so that's what he did. But let's just start with he was a messenger. So you can picture the map. Pappy, he's crossing the land, 1,200 k's, he's crossing the sea, he's rowing his boat to Rome with a care package. You go to the next slide. He's a messenger from Philippi with a care package of needs to sustain Paul while he's in prison or in chains for the gospel. And so Epaphroditus is a reminder that you might be prominent in the Bible. You might be occasionally mentioned. Or believe it's today, you might be sent overseas, or you might be sent across the street, or you might be sent forward to a new destination, or you might be sent back to an old generation, a destination rather. But when God sends, he can send you anywhere. That's what happened to Epaphroditus. So where is God sending you? Have you ever thought about that? Ever given that some thought? What's God's purpose for you? Pappy was sent 1,200 k's away. First for Paul's needs and then back again. To read these words. So you can imagine on arriving back into his hometown of Philippi, going back to the church, he would have read these words, verses 25 to 30, including words in 26. Pappy longs for all of you. So Paul would have wrote those words, verse 26. He longs for all of you. Hey, can you do a heart sign? Try and do a heart sign. Who can do a heart sign? Show me a heart sign. It's really popular today, isn't it? Yeah? You do a heart sign? Yeah? No, not very good, Jaggy. You can do it again. Something like that. Anyway, that's heart sign. It's good. It's kind of good. Because if you're ever sent somewhere, you want that love. You want to pray that you have that longing for people. And Epaphroditus, he's also distressed. We read that he's distressed because he heard that, because you heard Philippians, that he was healed. So he's distressed not because he's ill, but he's distressed because they heard he was ill or he was sick. And what a top bloke that was. So other person sent it. In fact, he almost died, but God had mercy and spared many, including Paul, from sorrow. And it's another reminder that when God sends, it can be a risk. Wherever he's sending you, it can be a risk. It can be dangerous, physically, emotionally. Sends you to ministry. We presume it's going to be a mountain with lovely views, but often it's a valley floor. It can be dangerous, like Pappy's journey. It was dangerous. I imagine there were attackers. There were robbers on the way in the ancient first century, in the Roman Empire first century. There were wild animals. But because of love, he took that risk. He was willing to go from Philippi and then willing to go back. And it must have been a worthwhile risk because Paul speaks of gladness and less anxiety. Them glad, him less anxious. And it got me thinking again that when God sends you, he doesn't send you to make people more anxious. So if God sends you into ministry, it's not to make people more anxious. God sends you to make people less anxious. So think about it again. Where is God sending you? Or where has he sent you? Is to make people less anxious. And I think sometimes in churches when ministers or, 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 or fellow workers or anybody serving in the church, whatever we do, remember we've been sent to do that to make people less anxious. I find that really helpful, you know, not to have people, oh no, look who's reading the Bible today, oh, we're all worried or something, but less anxious. And so Paul adds in his letter, Epaphroditus is in the room, the Philippians are reading it to each other, he adds that welcome him, and I'm sure they did, honour him, and then we read in verse 30 that he almost died for the work of Christ, Epaphroditus, he risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. I don't think Paul's having a little bit of a dig here, not at all. I think he's just simply saying that Epaphroditus was in a place to travel, and they, the Philippians, who would love to have seen Paul, could not. And he's just stating a fact that he was able to bring, that they could not bring themselves to him in Rome. So that's it. But it's a reminder that every believer is sent by God somewhere, but not every believer is sent everywhere. And so Epaphroditus was sent, but a lot of the believers who would have liked to have gone in Philippi were not sent. And so God sent Paul. Paul sent Timothy. Well, he didn't send Timothy, but he was planning to send him sooner. He's about to send Timothy, but it was hard to let go. But Paul definitely sent Epaphroditus back to his hometown with this letter. He was eager to send him. Again, let me ask you, where is God sending you? Or where has God sent you? If you're a believer, he sends all believers somewhere, not everywhere, but somewhere, to serve, maybe to assist. Maybe God is sending you somewhere to give a kind word, to forgive, to support someone. Maybe he's sending you to travel overseas. Maybe on mission. Maybe he has sent you to school to learn. You're his people. He is in control. Maybe he sent you to work. Do you ever pray about that? God, where are you sending me? Where have you sent me? Is it a mountain? Is it a lovely view? Or is it a valley floor right now? Where has he sent you? Do you ever pray about that? Sometimes he sends us into ordinary places, daily places where he wants us to learn and grow. Sometimes maybe the sending has to do with preparing for the future. But God sends everybody. Where has he sent you? Or where is he sending you? Do you ever think about that? Here's what we need to know. We're all sent, you sent. Know this, that if when you're a believer, he has already sent you to church. He has sent you to church to belong, to contribute, to serve. He's already sent you to serve in some way or another. Obviously, when we're in a family, he sent us to be part of the family, just our family, our immediate family at home. Obviously, family wants us to take that responsibility seriously, take care of our parents, contribute to the family, but also the workplace. It seems to me this is where God sends most of his young people in the early days, to the workplace. In fact, I'm going to go so far as to say this, that sending you, and you know, in the old days, I remember, you used to get in trouble saying this, but I think you can say it today, okay? Sending you to work to be a witness for Jesus is just as important as sending you overseas on mission. Used to be a time where the missionaries went overseas. What they did was more important than what everybody else did in the workplace. But I'll say that sending you to work, I firmly believe this, to be a witness for Jesus when opportunity arises is just as important as sending someone overseas for mission. Now, of course, overseas for mission is super important, but so is a witness for Jesus in the workplace. They are of equal value. Both are completely true. Both should carry the same emphases. Yeah? Okay. So why does he send us as Christians, as believers? He wants us to love God, obey him, and love people. He wants us to go where he is sending us so we can bring cheer. Not misery, but bring cheer. We can make our fellow believers less anxious. And so he sends us to serve, maybe in church, well, definitely in church, or maybe in other places, to make people less anxious, to love them, to love God, to love people. That's why he sends us. He also sends us. Why? Because of a command. Maybe he is sending you to someone in your family for the sake of forgiveness. Maybe he wants you to be reconciled. Jesus forgave you. He wants you to forgive somebody else. And so it's command. So he's sending you to somebody. Or maybe there's an opportunity. There's a risk. If God opens a door for you somewhere, jump. Take a risk. Yeah, it can be a bit scary, but take a risk. Trust God. Because I know some of you, in your heart, you know that you've been sent perhaps here or there or to some ministry short term or something, but you protect your environment. You don't take a risk. Learn from Pappy. Take a risk. Trust God. Go. Maybe apply for that job. Maybe go on that short term ministry. Definitely step up in church and serve in some ministry. Take a risk. And how do we know God is sending us? Do you have a desire? Are other believers around you affirming you, saying, yeah, you should do this. I'm sending you. We want to include you. Maybe, what are your spiritual gifts? What has God given you the ability to do? Or often, God sends us to fill a need. So we've got to be careful not to make the mistake of, you know, I'm not spiritually gifted in helping in the kitchen, so it's not for me. But, you know, often God sends his people to fill a need in the church. And we certainly have needs in our church. That's how we know God is sending us. Desire. People are affirming you. We have spiritual gifts, and often, more often than not, it's because there's a need and believers need to step up. Christianity is a sending religion. That's what it is. Everybody is sent somewhere. Not everywhere, but somewhere. Locally, globally, somewhere. To be a witness at work, witness at school, somewhere. Christianity is a sending religion. I mean, think about God. God so loved the world, he sent his son. Think about Jesus. Jesus so loved the world that he sent the Holy Spirit to his believers, that they would sustain them in this world until he returns. Where is God sending you? Where has God sent you? What's your purpose? Let's pray.